Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Amen. Thank you, Marty, for leading us in worship this morning. Thank you for that song. There is power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. I may have told you guys this joke before, but I heard a joke a long time ago. It said, be so full of the Spirit, be so full of the power of Jesus' blood that if a mosquito bites you, it flies away singing, there is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. The power and the blood of Jesus is a wonderful thing because His blood is righteous blood. It's holy blood. Without the power in the blood of Jesus, there would be no salvation for us. So may we give thanks today for the power that we have in the blood of Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for Jesus and His blood and the wonder-working power of His blood. We thank You so much for the salvation that He gives through His blood, Lord, how His blood is righteous and holy, and because of that, Lord, we can be made righteous and holy as He is through His blood. Because it is nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God, this morning as we come here to Your Word, Lord, and to hear the preaching of Your Word, God, I just pray that You will just rid our minds of distractions, Lord, and that You will just open our ears, open our eyes, open our minds, and open our hearts to be able to hear, to see, to know, and receive and believe Your Word this morning. Because it is a powerful Word. God, this morning as we come to a hard and difficult passage, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit is among us, Lord, and that is working to help us to understand all that it is saying here. And God, I pray that You will help us, as our passage teaches us, to continue to go on to maturity, to continue believing in Jesus and His works, and to be fruitful Christians. God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we are going to conclude a warning passage from the book of Hebrews. So if you have your copy of Hebrews or you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. I know we've already had a sermon on chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, and had a sermon on chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, but today we're really going to focus on chapter 6, verses 4 through 8, with a little bit sprinkled in from the previous passages. Because without these previous passages, we will not really be able to fully understand the passage we're learning about today. So turn with me there to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, in order to see this totality and fullness of the context of this whole passage, of this whole warning. My hope in reading this is that it will help you see the connections and see that the possible results of not growing in maturity and persevering in the faith can result in rejection of Jesus Christ. So join me in reading Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 and 6 through 8. So I'm going to trust you guys to walk me through here. And the Word of God says this: about this we have much to say, And it is hard to explain. Just remember, what was he talking about before this passage? He was talking about the priesthood of Jesus after the order of Melchizedek. So about this, about the order of Melchizedek, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain. But since you have become dull of hearing, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Then we go to verse 6, or chapter 6. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Verse 4. For it is impossible, in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding Him up to contempt. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. These verses here, especially chapter 6, verses 4 through 8, are some of the most challenging verses in all of Scripture. Questions that arise from this passage are those such as, was this person that was enlightened, that shared in the Holy Spirit, that was all these things, was this person a Christian, or was this person not a Christian? What do you mean it is impossible for someone who has fallen away to not be able to repent again? Does this mean that we can lose our salvation? Does this mean that those who are family or friends that have outright rejected Jesus cannot come back to a state of repentance? So many questions arise from this passage, don't they? So many things that can come up and make you wonder about this passage. It's a hard passage. It's a challenging passage. And while it may not address all the things that you have, I hope by the end of this sermon you can leave with a good understanding of this passage from God's Word. Personally, I wish I could have just skipped over these verses. It would have been a lot easier. Moved on to the next few verses. But you know what would have happened if I had did that? Or at least what I hope and expect to happen? Is just about every one of you would be walking up to me after the service and saying, "Hey, Pastor, why did you skip those verses?" Right? Every one of you would be asking me that question. And this is one of the few reasons why I love expositional preaching. Preaching chapter by chapter and verse by verse through a whole book of the Bible, because it forces pastors to deal with these type of passages. To deal with passages they don't really want to preach. It forces pastors to preach the whole Word of God. Not just pieces. Not just bits here and there. I know that we just read this whole passage, but to remember the last couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago in chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, we discussed two types of Christian, the sluggish Christian and the mature Christian. Last Sunday in chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, we looked at six elementary doctrines of Christ that all Christians should know and understand and have internalized in their hearts, memorized, and now building upon those doctrines, growing in maturity. And today we're going to see why one needs to and must grow in maturity to leave the milk behind and begin to eat solid foods. And that is because the author wants them to persevere in the faith rather than fall away by rejecting Jesus. So ultimately, if there's one thing I want you to know today, to walk away here today knowing, it is this: heed the warning and persevere because of Jesus. Heed the warning and persevere in the faith. And I believe our passage ultimately lays out three ways for us to persevere. Three ways for us to persevere. The first way that we see in this passage is to go on to maturity. To go on to maturity. This has ultimately kind of been a topic for the last couple of weeks, hasn't it? But I firmly believe that we live in a time when we have too many Christians that are not going on to maturity, not growing in the faith, not becoming mature Christians. And I want nothing more than for this church, for you to be a mature Christian that continues to grow and grow and grow in the faith of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 lays out this first way to persevere. He says, says at the very beginning there at the top. Where's it at? Is that the right thing? I'm going to read this here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity." And go on to maturity. I know what the problem is. That's a different translation than what I have on my notes here. So forgive me for that. I figured it out. I was like, what's the problem here? Why ain't this reading the same as mine? This is weird. Man. But, if you look, move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. So same thing we see here, right? To go on to maturity. Let us lay these foundational doctrines in Christ as we learned last week and then begin building upon those doctrines. Let us learn those fundamental doctrines so that we can learn the deeper truths, the deeper doctrines of Christ and God's Word. Let us be Christians that take responsibility for our own learning and go on to maturity. I'm not going to spend too much time talking about it because we've talked about it for the last 2 weeks. But why is this so important? Why is it so important, so crucial that we go on to maturity? I believe our passage offers two reasons why here. The first reason why is because mature people have their powers of discernment to distinguish good from evil, as we are told in chapter 5, verse 14. Mature Christians, I think I might have it there. If I have it there, yeah, I do. So if you read that there at the very bottom, those who are mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Mature Christians have gone on to maturity, and because of that, they have learned discernment through experience. And now they can discern and distinguish good from evil. And discernment, I believe, is critical. Why is that? Because discernment helps us to not be easily swayed. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is teaching about how apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, ultimately leaders in the church, are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, to help people grow in maturity. And then in verse 14, he states this: "So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Sounds very similar to our passage here in Hebrews, don't it? The goal is to no longer be children in the faith, to no longer be drinking milk, but rather to go on to maturity, so that now you have your powers of discernment and distinguish between good and evil and not be tossed to and fro by waves and winds of false doctrines. Not be swayed by human cunning and craftiness, deceitful schemes. And this is exactly what is happening here in the early Hebrew church. They couldn't distinguish good from evil because they wasn't mature. And they were being swayed by false teachings of Jesus, and they were falling away, rejecting Jesus. And this is the second reason why we must go on to maturity. It keeps us from falling away and rejecting Jesus. Falling away and rejecting Jesus, as verse 6 states, it keeps us from apostasy. The people in the early Hebrew church was being swayed and they were being pressured to go back to their Jewish way of life, to reject Jesus and to go back. That's what was happening. But the author here is saying, no, don't do that. Go on to maturity. Persevere with Jesus as your Savior. That's what he's saying. Church, this world we live in today is really no different, is it? Everything in this world that we live in today is doing everything in its power to sway you and pressure you to reject Jesus. Y'all agree with that? I hope you do, because it's out there, it's happening. Everything around you, every commercial, every TV show, everything is doing its best to get you to sway away from Jesus and to reject Jesus. The internet and social media has just opened up this massive hotbed for false doctrines and false teachings to be posted in order to sway people away from Jesus. This world uses every evil thing out there and longs for you to reject Jesus Christ, to leave the faith. So when you watch that Facebook video, when you read that Facebook post, when you watch that YouTube video, when you read that blog, when you read a magazine that has Christian teachings in it, use your powers of discernment to distinguish good from evil. In church, this world is not going to stop. It's not going to stop. So I encourage you, as our Hebrews passage encourages you, to go on to maturity, to march forward to maturity, to build on those elementary doctrines, deeper truths of God's Word, so that you can distinguish good from evil. This leads us to our second way to persevere. Continue believing the work of Jesus. Continue believing the work of Jesus. And I know what you may be thinking right now. Well, that sounds really easy to do, Pastor. That sounds really simple, really easy to do. And I'm going to counter you and say that I think it's actually not that easy. I hope I can prove it to you. So I'm going to ask you this question by show of hands. How many of you know someone, whether it be a family member, whether it be a friend, whether it be a coworker, or just someone you know that long ago made a profession of Jesus Christ? They may have been baptized, and then months and even years later, decided that they were no longer believing in Jesus. Just raise your hand. No longer involved in the church. They no longer living the Christian life. They are living in sin. You see the hands go up. I hope you can see that. That it is very, very hard for some people to continue believing in Jesus. Very hard for that to happen. Very hard to continue. It's not an easy thing to do. Our passage even teaches us of people who was once enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, shared in the Holy Spirit, tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then now have fallen away, rejecting Jesus. It's hard to continue believing in Jesus. It was hard for these people in the early Hebrew church, and it is hard for Christians even now, which is why we must, absolutely must, continue believing in Jesus. Because here's the reality. If one can stop believing in the works of Jesus, then it ultimately means that their heart was never truly changed, and a heart that rejects Jesus is a heart that can never be restored to repentance. Our passage teaches that it is impossible to restore the one who has fallen away, rejecting Jesus. I didn't say those words. God's Word says those words. Why? Because in their rejection, in their falling away, as verse 6 teaches, they are putting Jesus back on that cross and they are re-crucifying Him. They are holding Him up in contempt. Church, the unfortunate reality is this. Those that reject Jesus die and go to hell. I can't get around it, but our passage says it's impossible. But those that have been enlightened, those that have shared in the Holy Spirit, those that have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come and have come and had a true heart change. A true heart change. And persevere in the faith by continuing to believe in the works of Jesus. They will experience the fullness of salvation. They will get to enjoy heaven. They will get to enjoy eternal life with Jesus. And these people, they're like those seeds that were sown on the good soil. Remember the parable? Scripture, I believe, interprets Scripture. Other Scripture helps us to understand other Scripture. And I think the parable of the four soils is one that can help us to understand this passage. You may recall in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the four soils. Jesus is teaching, and He says that a sower went out to sow seed, and he's sowing the seed. Some seeds fell along the solid path or the pathway. The birds came down. They ate them up. Some seeds fell on the rocky ground, and because they didn't have any depth of soil, when the sun rose, they were scorched, and because there was no soil, the roots were shallow, and they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns and the thistles and choked them out. But some other seeds fell on the good soil. And you know what happened on the good soil? Those seeds took root and they grew and produced fruit. Jesus goes on to explain the parable by saying that the seed that was sown on the path that was ate up by the birds is like those who heard the word of the kingdom but didn't understand it. And the evil one came and snatched away that what was sown in their heart. The seed that was sown on the rocky ground is like the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But because there's no root in himself, he endures for a little while. And when hard times come, he falls away. The seed that was sown among the thorns is like the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches end up choking the word, and the person proves unfruitful. But for the seed that was sown on the good soil, it is like one who heard the word. They understood the word. They matured, and then they produced fruit. They produced grain. This person, let me tell you, they didn't fall away. You can make the case that every one of these people, as our Hebrews passage tells us, they were enlightened. They tasted the heavenly gift. They may have shared in the Holy Spirit. They tasted in the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come. Yet three of them fell away. But one of them didn't. You know why? Because that one person understood. He matured and he became a fruit-bearing Christian. This person ultimately continued to believe in Jesus. You can tell me, or you can tell me that you are a Christian all you want, but you'll prove it by continuing to follow Jesus all the days of your life. Continuing to follow Jesus. Never rejecting Him. True believers persevere until the end because they are preserved by the Father in heaven. Because they continue believing in Jesus. Church, I encourage you this morning to do the hard thing and continue believing in Jesus. Continue believing in the power of the blood. Continue believing in Jesus. Because if you don't, you will fall away and you will reject Jesus. The last way to persevere is to be a fruit producer. To be a fruit producer. True Christians produce true and righteous fruit. And read me verses 7 and 8 again. And the Word of God says here at the end, "For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned." In this illustration here, the author is ultimately illustrating the previous verses. He is showing us that the one who does not reject Jesus is like the land that produces a crop that is what? Useful. Useful. But the one who rejects Jesus is like the land that bears thorns and thistles, and they are worthless. The rain has fallen on both of these lands. But the fruit produced are radically different. One is useful, one is not. Church, the gospel call goes out to all people, just like it rains on all the land, right? The gospel call goes out to all people, but only those that have a real heart change and truly believe in Jesus Christ and truly repent of their sins will produce fruit that is useful. And as our passage says, receive the blessing of God. But those that don't have a heart change, they don't believe and don't repent of their sins, they will not be useful and will instead be cursed and burned, ultimately showing us that those that are not useful will be thrown into hell. Church, one of the ways we persevere until the end is by being a fruit producer. By producing fruit, by being Christians that produce fruit, because we are called to do that. We are commanded to do that. You may be asking, what type of fruit must Christians produce? And there are two passages that I believe help with this. And the first one is the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, which says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness." Go ahead and change it for me there. "Gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Christians produce these things. You input Jesus in your life, and the output is the fruit of the Spirit. You input Jesus into your heart, and the output is that Christians are loving, Christians are joyful, Christians are peaceable, Christians are patient, Christians are kind, Christians are good, Christians are faithful, Christians are gentle, and Christians have self-control. These are fruits of the Christian. This is the lifestyle of a Christian. And in producing this fruit, we are proving that we are not falling away. We are proving that we have a true heart change, and that we are maturing and continuing to believe in the works of Jesus. Jesus teaches us in the Gospels that you will know who is a believer by their fruit. These fruits of the Spirit is a determining factor in that. But I also believe that there is another type of fruit that Christians should bear. And this is the fruit of the gospel being sown. If you go back and you remember our story of the parable of the four souls from earlier, who is sowing those seeds? A man, right? A human is casting those seeds. And Jesus is ultimately comparing this to a man casting and sowing gospel seeds. Gospel seeds. Seeds of the gospel. Christians planting seeds of the gospel in people's lives in hope that these seeds will be sown into the good soil of a heart that is ready to hear the gospel, ready to believe the gospel, ready to repent of their sins and follow Jesus. A seed that is planted in the good soil is a seed that grows and ultimately grows to a point it produces what? Fruit. You see that connection there? Christians sow seeds of the gospel in hopes that it will produce a fruit. The fruit of salvation. Paul uses very similar language in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, when he says, "I planted," meaning "I planted the seed. Apollos watered, but who gave the growth?" God gave the growth. We have a responsibility in being like Paul and being like Apollos. We must either be sowing seeds of the gospel or watering seeds of the gospel. We must trust and know and remember that it is God who gives the growth. That it is God who's going to save their souls. The fruits of the Spirit and fruits that come through the sowing of the gospel are both fruits that Christians must produce. And through the practice of producing these fruits, we will persevere. Because it keeps us focused on Jesus. Keeps us focused on Him and never rejecting Him and falling away. Ultimately, in our sermon today, we conclude this. We have seen three ways to persevere. The first way was to go on to maturity, learning and growing in the faith so that you are not swayed to and fro by winds and waves of false doctrines of cunning humans and deceitfulness of others. The second way was to continue believing in the work of Jesus, Believing in Jesus, while it may feel easy to you, it's honestly really hard for many. So in order to not reject Jesus, we must continue believing in Jesus. The third way is to be a fruit producer. Those that produce fruit are useful, but those that do produce thorns and thistles are worthless and will be cursed and burned. Let us be a people. Let us be a church that produces fruits of the Spirit and sows gospel seeds that spring up to be Christians by the power of God and His salvation. Today's passage is hard, ain't it? It's challenging. It's difficult to hear. And ultimately, it may have created an ache in your heart. For those of you who have family members, even myself, or friends that have professed Jesus at one point in their life, but have since fallen away, no longer producing fruit that is in accord with the Christian life. I want to close today by reading two scriptures. One that is hard to hear, but two that are very encouraging for us. The first passage is 1 John chapter 3, verse 19, and it says this, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth." I think this is a different version again. Why this is happening, I may have messed it up in my clicking here, so ignore that for a moment and follow me and just leave it here. In 1 John 3, 19, it says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us." Hear that? They went out of us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. This verse in many ways sums up our passage today, don't it? Those that have fallen away and rejected Jesus are those that have went out from us. And Scripture teaches it is ultimately because they are not of us. They were not of us. They are like the first three types of soil. Their heart was never truly changed and converted. They didn't go on to maturity. They didn't continue believing in Jesus. They didn't produce. But I also want to offer you these couple of encouraging verses. Chapter 3 of John, verse 16. We read it earlier. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." What does it say here? "That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "In Him," speaking of Christ, "in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." Church, be encouraged by this. Be encouraged by these verses, because those that have truly, truly believed, truly repented of their sins, truly had their heart changed by the power of God, they will not perish. And they will inherit eternal life. They will be sealed by the promised Holy Spirit, who guarantees our inheritance, salvation, and heaven. Scripture teaches of a doctrine that is called perseverance or preservation of the saints. And what it teaches is that those that have truly been saved, truly had their heart changed, truly believed and repented of their sins, they will be preserved. They will persevere until the end. And who's going to preserve them? Who's going to take care of them? God is. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, as Romans chapter 8, I believe, teaches. Nothing can separate us from God's salvation. Nothing can remove those who have true heart changes from God's hand. So church, this morning you may be wondering about those you know that may have fallen away, or maybe they are dabbing into things they shouldn't be dabbing into, or maybe they haven't produced any fruit in a long time. I want you to know this. Time will tell. Time will tell. If they are truly saved, they will return back to God because God has preserved them. God is going to be the one that helps them to persevere. But if they are not, then they are going to continue living in that rebellion. And so my encouragement is this. Pray. Pray. I'm reminded of my grandmother. She prayed so, so hard. Every day of her life, she would tell me that she was praying for family members that she knew, that she wondered about, that she was worried about. She prayed every single day of her life, hoping and believing that God would save them. So my encouragement to you this morning is be like my grandma in some ways. Pray. Pray for the salvation of your family members. Pray for the salvation of your friends. Pray for the salvation of your co-workers. Pray for the salvation of your neighbors. Pray for the salvation of all those you encounter that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. Pray. And trust and believe that God will save them. Because it is only by the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. Pray. Today, if you are here and you're hearing all this and you have never responded to the gospel call, you are understanding that maybe you have rejected Jesus all the way up to this point in your life. You've never made a profession of faith. You've never decided to follow Jesus. And I want you to know that today you can begin doing that. That today you can respond to the gospel of Jesus and the work of Him. And as we talked about, continue believing in Jesus. Continue believing in the works of Jesus. And maybe you're asking, well, what are those works? Ultimately, it comes down to these things right here. You got God, man, Christ, and response, right? God is a holy God, and us as humans in our sin have rebelled against Him and His holiness, and because of that, we are separated from God. But God in His goodness has sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, to die on the cross for you and your sin. And if you respond to Him and the works that He did by believing in Jesus and what He did and repenting of your sins, the Bible says you will be saved. And friend who has never responded to the gospel call, never believed or repented of your sins, this morning I want you to know you can do that right now. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to pray a prayer. You don't have to do anything. The Bible never says you have to do those things. The Bible, all it says is this: believe and repent of your sins. So this morning, if that is you, I want to encourage you right here where you are to respond to the call of Jesus. If you feel in your heart that Jesus is drawing you to Himself, that God is calling you to Himself, then right now in this moment, give your life to Jesus. And then I want you to talk to somebody about it. I want you to tell someone about it. Because as I said earlier, it's really hard to continue believing in Jesus. It's so hard, it's really hard to do it by yourself. And we want you to do this with a community of people around you. That's what the church is for, right?
Amen.
To help us. To help each other continue in this work. Continue in believing Jesus. So I want to encourage you to talk to me. Or talk to a friend that you know that is a God follower, Jesus follower, very faithful, or a family member that you have, and tell them about the decision you are making today. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word, God. God, we thank you for hard passages, Lord, because it makes us think. It makes us think critically. It makes us think crucially. But God, this morning, I just want to pray that we as a church will be a church that goes on to maturity, Lord. That we will be a church that continues to believe in the works of Jesus. That we will be a church that continues to produce fruit. That we will be fruit producers. And God, I pray this morning that if there's one here who has never believed in you, never given their life to you, Lord, that they will respond this morning by believing in you and repenting of their sins. And God, we thank you for Jesus and the salvation we have in him. We pray all of this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.